Over in Isaiah 30, verse 6, when David was under great distress, he said he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, certainly we ought to encourage one another, and we can encourage one another, but many times that encouragement begins to slip when things are, not going too well and people sort of back off. But if you're encouraged in the Lord, it'll always be the same. He never backs up. I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalm. Psalm 31, verse 19. And we want to thank God this morning for His blessings. Verse 19 of Psalm 31. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. How great is thy goodness. Human mentality is not sufficient to even grasp how great the goodness of God is. But even if we could, we do not have the vocabulary or the wisdom to declare that greatness today. All we can do is just say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. But how great is your goodness? I want you to notice with me about four things. First of all, how great these blessings of God are today. Secondly, that they are indeed wrought or given by the Lord, and they are laid up. Man, I'm glad of that. They're laid up for those that fear and trust in the Lord. Aren't you glad that all we're going to get is not just now?
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, there are those today that are enduring great hardship, facing great difficulties. I'm glad that God saves the best to last.
Amen.
Now, the devil will give you the best up front, and then you wind up being destroyed by what he gave you. But God saves the best to last. It just gets brighter and brighter and better until one day in all this trouble and sorrow in this life are gone, and we're there where the sun never sets anymore. Laid up for us. First of all, notice we're the giver of these blessings. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, according as his divine power has given us all things. According to his divine power, he has given us all things, everything that we'll ever need. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 says, these blessings are from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3 of Ephesians 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The giver of these blessings is God the Father and God the Son. The source of the blessings is God, and the means by which you and I receive these blessings is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrought all of these for us, even them. Gift of salvation comes from God, as Brother Wilbert made very plain earlier. In Romans 5:11, said, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or been reconciled to God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have been made friends to God when we once were his enemies, or he was our enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath, notice, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ reconciled us to God, and then he put us in the business of preaching the word of reconciliation. You know, the Bible tells us when God got ready for the flood to come in Noah's day, he said, Noah, come in to the ark. God was already in the ark. And he said, Noah, you come in. Here this verse of scripture said, God was in Christ Jesus, our ark, telling us to come in. And it's through him that we receive all of these blessings. The Bible tells us that he is the author and finisher. He's the beginning. And he's also the completer of these blessings. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's a beginner. He's the one that started the work of salvation in us. And then Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, said we can be confident of this one thing. He that hath started or begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. The gift of salvation is a great gift of God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord didn't just cover our sins as he did, as they did in the tabernacle and the temple when the high priest laid the blood on the mercy seat. It covered their sins. But the Bible tells us that Jesus saved us, redeemed us, and forgave us of our sins. Amen. He didn't just cover them. He took them away. John the Baptist tells us in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Psalm 32 verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There's a scapegoat. But the writer told us about that yesterday in Leviticus 16. Said he got dressed and took the goat after symbolically the sins of Israel had been placed on that goat. And that fit man took him out into an uninhabited place where no one has ever been, folks. Yeah. No one but Jesus Christ ever has been where he went when he took our sins upon him. We may have to bear our own sins, but he bore all of our sins upon him. All of his people in an uninhabited place where he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then the Bible tells us that fit man came back out of that wilderness and he took those clothes off and he washed his body and put on different clothes. There wasn't even the smell of that old goat on him. And it says that Jesus Christ, our scapegoat, took our sin in an uninhabited place. And he's coming back one day. And there won't be any sign of sin with him. They're gone. Gone. Forever gone. Blessings of the greatness of the gift of salvation from God. You know, God has been so good to us. So good to us. I grew up a very poor kid. Of course, most of the people around me were poor too. But all we had was clothes to wear and food to eat. I never, in my wildest dreams, ever expected to enjoy some of the things I've enjoyed in this life. God's been so good to me. Amen. The reason these blessings are so great is because they are all from God. Of course, we have the material and physical blessings. Live in a country like the United States of America. There is a lot wrong with it, folks, but it's still a wonderful country. I'll tell you, when you leave here today and you go home, you go down highways that's easy to travel on, good comfortable car, get home in a good comfortable home. All of those are blessings of God. There are millions of people in this world has no conception of what that's like.
Amen.
God bless you with a family, husband and wife, children. I thank God especially today all my children in church. All of my grandchildren profess to be saved, and I have no reason to doubt it. All of that's a blessing of God.
Amen.
So many things. Good health. You that have good health, you can't imagine how blessed you are until you don't have it anymore. All of that's of God, folks. But I want to tell you, these blessings that we are speaking of this morning goes beyond this physical body of this material world. The Bible tells us that these blessings are enormous. They're innumerable. You can't count them. They're incomprehensible. How could Almighty God give up the glories of heaven and come down in the form of a servant made in the likeness of sinful flesh and take my place and pay for my sin? I can't comprehend that, but he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says, all things are yours. Life, death, everything, and they're all from God. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, his mercies new every morning. Every morning when you wake up and get out of the bed, you're facing a day that God is going to give you and pour out his mercies upon you. Every day, different. Psalm 63, verse 3, thy loving kindness is better than life. You know, God is kind and gracious to all. Says he's a savior of all men, but especially those that believe. The reason you're breathing today, the reason you're able to be here, the reason you're in America today, all of these comes by the grace of God. Amen. Even though you may be a lost sinner on your way to hell, the reason you're breathing and not already in hell is because of his mercy. But I want to tell you, for God's people, there's something special. You go through the scriptures and you find the word loving kindness, and it always refers to God's people. I tell you, it's more than just kindness. It's loving kindness. The special favor of God. Romans 8 and 28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's loving kindness. I mean, everything that happens to you today will be for your good. Folks, we don't have to worry about anything. God said, I'm taking care of you, and whatever I directly cause to come upon you, or whatever I allow to come upon you, the end result is it'll be for your good. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says we are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything that's his, it's ours today. What about the nature of these blessings? Well, there are, as we've already said, many material and physical blessings. But these blessings we are referring to this morning are primarily spiritual blessings. Over in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, first of all, says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then it begins to tell us about these blessings. In verse 4, says we're chosen by Almighty God. Out of all of mankind, God chose me. And he chose you if you're one of his. You know, if you are here today and you're an adopted child, you ought to thank more of your parents than anybody. They didn't have to take you and raise you and take care of you and feed you and see after you. They didn't have to do that. They chose to do it. They picked you out, said, I want you. Folks, that's exactly what God did for his elect. He picked us out. He didn't have to. He wasn't obligated to us. He didn't owe us anything. He just said, I'm going to choose you unto salvation. Not only that, in verse 5, he said he adopted us. That means he made us legally his. That's why we're joint heirs with Christ, because he adopted us. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, but you and I are children of God by adoption. You know, I learned something a few years ago. We have two adopted grandchildren. And you know, you can disinherit your biological kid, but you can't disinherit an adopted child.
Amen.
No way. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1 says we are accepted in the beloved. Filthy, despicable sinners pictured in the Bible as those that had leprosy. Our very best righteousness are as filthy rags, as one that had leprosy and as part of the body would decay and rot and fall off in these rags. The Bible says that our very best in the sight of God looks like that, as filthy rags. And yet, he accepted us in the beloved.
Amen. Amen.
Redeemed.
Amen.
Worthless. Slave of Satan's. Redeemed. Bought back. off of the slave market. Not only are we bought back, but we were taken off of the market. We're not for sale anymore.
Amen.
You know, old Satan tried to get old Job back. He worked on him. God took down the hedge to prove him and let him at him. But he never could get him back. You know why? Because he wasn't for sale. He belonged to God. Verse 7 also says that we are forgiven. Brother Rader mentioned that. The Hebrew words and the Greek words both for forgiven means to snatch away from, to take away from. And also to separate from. Our sins have been taken away, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. We've been separated from our sins. We're no longer connected to those sins. We've been forgiven. That's hard for me to grasp. But it's true. Not only that, but in verse 8 and 9, it tells us that we have been given the spiritual illumination where we can understand spiritual things. Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says that the natural man cannot discern or comprehend spiritual things. But we that were chosen of God and convicted and regenerated and brought to salvation, he has given us the ability to understand spiritual things. I now understand why some people can't understand about the New Testament church. They've never been given that spiritual intellect to understand it. That's a blessing of God, folks. Sometimes we that have been blessed with such glorious truths of God's word get to feeling a little bit proud. We think we're a little smarter than someone else. But whatever truth you and I know today, folks, the same one taught us both.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you know anything today, spiritually the Holy Spirit taught you.
Amen.
God was pleased to reveal these wonderful truths to us. So these are primarily spiritual blessings. Not only that, but in verse 11, said he predestinated us. God has already determined where I'm going to wind up.
Amen.
Not any doubt about it.
Amen.
The Bible says, even if I begin to doubt, God is faithful that promised.
Amen.
He knows those that are his. The foundation of God standeth sure, even though I may doubt. God knows I belong to him.
Amen.
And I'll make it all the way. The character of these blessings. Excuse me. They're heavenly blessings. Said to hear, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're there for us when we need them. Whatever it is that you and I find ourselves in need of in this life, it's there for you. You call upon him. John 3:27 said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
They're heavenly gifts. Folks, things you can't get here on this earth. It has to come from heaven. I don't care how big or how great or how wonderful some church is. You can't get these things from church. They come from heaven. Now, they may come through the church, but they come from heaven.
Amen.
God is pleased to bless this world with his churches today. Without his churches today, there'd be no truth. There'd be no means by which you could hear the gospel, which only by hearing can you be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There may be those that despise these so-called little churches in our communities, but I want to tell you, they're the only means by which you hear the gospel today. Where are these blessings? Well, it says in Ephesians 1:3, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're in Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Did you know on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, the Arab mosque that's there, you know, it's got that copper brass top, whatever it is, on the top of it. If you've ever been in Jerusalem, I'm sure you saw it. There's some Arabic writings on the top of that mosque. You know what those letters, those Arabic letters say? God has no son. Of course, their God is Allah. He's not the Jehovah God of the Bible, by the way. But it says that God has no son. Let me tell you something, folks. If God, the real God, the God of this Bible, has no son, then you are hopeless today. There is no hope.
Amen.
All hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know every once in a while, some TV preacher, well-known preacher, comes out and says, you know, that you have to believe in Jesus Christ. That salvation is only in Christ. And then somewhere gets all upset and they say that can't be true. And even Billy Graham backed up on it.
Right.
He said, as long as you believed in some kind of God, you're all right. I've seen some other renowned preachers that backed up on it and said, well, you know, if you believe. But I'm telling you, folks, the only way to receive these blessings, the only way you'll ever enter the portals of glory is by the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the eternal Son of God. That's where these blessings are. And that's the only way you can get them. You get them by God's election, as it tells us in Ephesians 1:4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Excuse me. You get them by regeneration. Ephesians 2:10.
Amen.
I left out verse 8 and 9. We get them by regeneration, for we are his workmanship. Folks, regeneration means a lot more than just making some kind of decision.
Amen.
Regeneration means that God performs a work on us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Brother Rader preached yesterday on the big change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We are regenerated, folks. We become a spiritual being as well as a physical being. All wrought by God, as Psalm 31:9 says, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said earlier, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
We enjoy so many blessings now, but the best is yet to come. Psalm 31:19 says these blessings that God has wrought for those that fear and believe in the Lord are laid up for us, waiting for us. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We haven't received all those blessings yet. We haven't needed them all yet.
Right.
You won't need grace for sickness and suffering till you have sickness and suffering. And then God will give you grace for it if you're His. You won't need dying grace until God gets ready for you to die.
Amen, brother.
These blessings are in heaven, ready to be given when they're needed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away,
amen,
reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last day." They're not here yet, folks.
Amen.
Believe his brother Turner said this morning, we're closer to the coming of the Lord than anybody ever has been.
Amen.
Nobody has been as close to the coming of the Lord as we are today.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen. Right.
He's coming one of these days. These blessings are reserved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "I hath not seen," quotation from Isaiah, "I hath not seen, the ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him."
Amen.
Old Isaiah believed that way back then. I believe it today.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of wonderful things in my life that I never expected to see. You probably heard me tell this before, but some years ago I had the privilege and opportunity to take a tour over what we call the Holy Land and stayed in the St. George Hotel right in Jerusalem. Of course, a little country boy from Tennessee never expected to be anywhere like that. But I went to bed that night. I think it was up on the third floor of the hotel. And I got to lay there and I got to think about, here I am in Jerusalem, right where my Lord walked. You know, the Via Dolorosa, where He went out, where He was trying, where He went out to Calvary. And I'm right here where He was. You know, that's fine. Tennessee hillbilly, that's almost more you can handle. Got up out of my bed, went out into the hall. At the end of the hall, there was a little porch-like out there, and double doors, French doors. I walked out on that porch, and I looked out over the old city of Jerusalem. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. You can see those lights out there, and I thought, this is where the Lord was. I mean, He walked right here, just like I'm standing here. The next day, we went to the Mount of Olives where He prayed. Went to Gordon's Calvary where He was crucified. Went to the garden where the tomb was. As we stood there, this Arabic fellow. He was an Arab, but he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keeper of the garden was gathered there, and he asked us, he said, of all the things you've seen here in this garden, there was a lot of beautiful flowers, a lot of things there. He said, is there anything in particular that stands out to you more than anything else? People mention a lot of things. I was standing in the back, Brother Harold Harvey and I was standing in the back. We didn't say anything. Just listen to what others had to say. Finally, when they all got through what all they said, how they described the beauty of the garden, he said the thing that was most spectacular was that there's one empty tomb.
Amen.
That was, I don't know whether it's a real one or not. It doesn't make any difference to me whether it was a real one or not. But in that garden, there was one tomb that was empty. You could walk in there and look and see where somebody may have been. They said it was where Jesus Christ was. But I didn't have to see it.
Amen.
Because I know he's resurrected.
Amen.
I know he lives today.
Amen.
But I've seen some beautiful things. I've heard some beautiful things in my time. Beautiful singing like we've heard here. But he said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared
Amen.
For those that love him.
Amen.
They're reserved, folks. They're waiting. One of these days,
Amen.
Something's going to happen.
Amen.
A fellow asked Brother Clark one time, said, you think you're perfect, don't you? He said, all I like is the trumpet blowing.
Amen.
One of these days, the trumpet's going to blow. And when it does, we'll be perfect.
Amen.
Go to be with the Lord forever. Each and every one of us ought to fall prostrate.
Amen.
Before Almighty God, thanking him that he would even think of us to show us his favor. Surely, it ought to be Thanksgiving for us. Thank you.